A new iOS update is apparently breaking phones that were broken, that were then fixed. It's breaking them again. And a new image of the M10 has leaked. We'll talk about that and more coming up.
In a time where content creation thrives. In a place where games are played. The people that play such games reach out to you. With things such as game time or speed build. There can only be one name that solidifies in your mind. Spectrum Swapper.
Yo! What's going on, guys? Welcome to Front Page Tech, the show that gives you all of the latest tech news from one geek, that's me, to another, that is you. I am joined today, as usual, by the lovely, the beautiful, the Pepsi-drinking, hoodie-wearing Brian Shoup, everybody. Hat swinging. Brian Shoup.
Hi.
How are you, Brian?
Today for audio listeners.
Yeah, the hat swing was for the audio listeners?
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Brian?
I am perfect.
Perfect.
In every way. Mm-hmm.
That's I'm not even perfect.
No, you're
I got
less
this
than,
zit
you're not
my
even
ear?
Good. You got a zit on your ear?
Behind it.
Peasant.
It's like on my neck, but not.
You're a peasant.
It's like my earlobe is a little hat to my zit.
What?
Yeah. What are you drinking, Brian? What was that I just saw
it's
you drinking?
Pepsi, like you said.
Oh, you actually are drinking Pepsi?
Yes, I
saw
Pepsi
a Pepsi bottle
about.
On my desk, and that's where that came from. But hey, if you are actually drinking Pepsi, the points for me. Let me
points
think.
For you don't decide the points. You're not the goalkeeper.
But I do decide the points, Brian. I decide them.
You know who gets points?
Points?
People who
decider.
Do tech news. People who do tech news, John. So you should start talking about tech news, huh?
Okay. Stews news story number one.
Stew Nori.
Circuit City is coming back, y'all. So, I went bankrupt in 2008.
For a reason.
Yeah, things were a bit different back then. Plus, the economy was shit, and there was really no place for it anymore. Now we see, you know, Radio Shack has gone away as well. So, that pretty
for
much just leaves
reason.
Best Buy. But apparently, they are bringing it back. Around 100 stores will being built.
Brought back.
I need to turn my notifications off on my phone. So 50 to 100 corporate-owned stores will be thrown up on this earth as soon as June. And it's going to be a little bit different. The layout is going to be a little bit different. From pictures that have been rendered, like little 3D models of what it's going to look like, it's not your typical like layout. Maybe not what you're used to if you ever went to Circuit City before, or like when I initially heard the story. I actually just talked about this on Tech News Weekly on the GFQ network, which is published on YouTube right now, I believe. So mm-hmm. I was a guest on that show with Andrew and John Bubb. I'll post a link down in the description for that. So we talked more about this, but I was kind of expecting like a massive layout like a Best Buy or how Circuit City used to be, but apparently that's not what's going to happen. According to these 3D renders, it's like a streamlined experience, like you would see it like an Apple store or Microsoft store. So I think that's better than trying to do everything and offer everything. Brian, what do you think?
That's definitely a good idea. I mean, okay, basically they couldn't compete essentially. Whenever they went bankrupt, the online market really, really killed kind of everybody a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's the reason behind Best Buy price matching so heavily with other competitors, things like that. And now other companies are doing that as well. But I think they have to kind of go specialty. But I don't think selling 3D printers like quadcopters and like the average smartphone, tablets, laptops, headphone stuff is going to be that big of a deal. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like I'm going to be like, yeah, let's go to Circuit City other than to see it for the first time since 2008. You know what I mean?
If they had a... if they price matched, which I've heard nothing about thus far, if they did that, though, maybe.
Maybe, but still, they would have to the biggest thing about like the convenience of like going to like a Best Buy is... For one, people who don't know what they're looking for and have some questions and can resort to the internet for whatever reason, maybe they're not comfortable Googling things.
Yeah.
That's usually it. Or someone wants a physical representation of what they already know they want. You know, they just went to the store to pick up a product they know they have. If Circuit City is going to be a smaller, you know, more specialty store, you would think they'd go deeper with the products, but I don't think so. I think they're just going to carry the main brands.
Yeah.
And like people would just, I think they're still just going to go to Best Buy or just go to Walmart or, you know, just go to the, one of the larger stores, which are guaranteed to have it. You know, I don't know. I hope it works out, but I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm hoping it works out too. I would definitely, like, if there's one even remotely near us, I'll definitely go check it out. But like I said, if I can go online and get things cheaper, then chances are I won't be buying anything from Circuit City. Either way, to say that they're coming back, they're going to bring them back, and we're going to see them as early as June, is it's kind of exciting. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Good luck to Circuit City. It's not like I want them to fail.
No.
I want them to be good, because I miss Radio Shack, Brian. I miss, but
well,
I completely understand why Radio Shack went away. I get that, but how many times did you and I have to go to Radio Shack for something so specific
there? Radio Shack was actually, if you needed to buy buttons or switches or specific audio cables or things like that, they were the place to go. I mean, even there's a best, or I'm sorry, a Radio Shack around where my Best Buy is.
Okay.
And we even have to refer them to that Radio Shack sometimes because we know they have such a specific item they're looking for. So,
like if I needed cables or something or an adapter, always go to Amazon. But there was a lot of times where, like, last minute, you and I would need something,
right?
And you could just walk into a Radio Shack and they'd have that really weird specific adapter.
And just walk in, walk out, super convenient, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know what isn't super convenient? All those freaking web pages where you're trying to download a freeware file, and it's like, oh, well, here's 37,000 download buttons with 14 viruses behind each one. Pick the right one. Go. Google Chrome will now start warning you when there's shady shit going on that download page.
Yeah.
Specifically, I guess the term they're using is like deceptive, which makes sense. This is really nice, but I feel like, I guess the majority of people would know that there's going to be deceptive buttons, you know, for freeware sites, things like that. I mean, it's almost like expected at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, even when it is expected, it's still like,
right?
Still kind of difficult. Plus, the average person might not know their way around, and it's kind of playing Russian roulette with some download buttons and just hoping for the best.
What would be optimal, but ultimately, I think impossible, is if they could just disable those altogether. Or like if they want their website listed in Google search results, get rid of fake download buttons.
Yeah.
That'd be great, but that's asking a lot.
This is one of those cases where like ad blocker is good.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, I use ad block. I just have it disabled on YouTube. I use it on everything else in the world.
Like this is like the definition of why you need ad blocker.
It really is.
I mean, one of the biggest reasons to use an ad blocker is to get rid of the malicious ads. And this is it. Like, to try to deceive you into thinking that you're clicking a button that you went there to click, but you're downloading something you didn't want to download. And a lot of times, I mean, it's happened to me before where I will have clicked one and I just assumed. Like, it's my fault I didn't check, but I downloaded a file.
Yeah.
And when I went to open it, it wasn't nearly what I wanted. It's just some weird, like, speed your PC.
It's like speed your PC up.exe, and it's like, ooh, not running that.
I think it's cool that Google's doing this. It'll help at least a couple people, and we need those couple people to be helped.
At least they're acknowledging it. That's the big thing, is people are like, well, this is clearly a problem. So hopefully this will lead to them being gone forever. So,
right.
You know.
Apple is soon going to let customers trade in their quote-unquote busted iPhones toward a new one. So essentially, you walk in with your broken iPhone or your old iPhone, and they will give you credit in the Apple Store to buy a new iPhone from Apple, from their exchange program. So you can't walk in. Don't assume that you can walk in with a phone that you have still on contract or that you have on a lease that you haven't paid off yet, and you can just walk in and have it traded in. That's not the case. Your phone has to be paid off. Unlocked, great, and it cannot be under contract still. Just you need to know that. They're offering around $50 for an iPhone 5S, $200 for a 6, $250 for a 6 Plus. Now, this fluctuates depending on a couple things. Number one, how much storage is in the device? And number two, how broken is it? Because I'm curious, because they said broken iPhones here.
Yeah, I'm assuming they mean lightly damaged.
Yeah, like you can't bring this phone in like that's in shambles and be like, can I have $200 towards my next iPhone? No, that's not.
I ran it over with a truck. Can I get a new one?
Cool that Apple's doing this. Does Best Buy offer anything like this?
They do. Honestly, the majority of things like with trade-in are usually on promotion with trading in like your 5 or 5 to 6 or whatever you want to trade in and getting like a $200 gift card guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff is more common than anything else.
That sounds better than this.
Well, a lot of times there's no promotions and then it's like $60 trade-in.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's either really good or not worth it, because at that point you still have a freaking working iPhone. I mean, it's good, but at the end of the day, you're getting Apple Store credit. You're not getting cash.
And, but I mean, Best Buy does the same thing essentially, right? If you get a $200 gift card, it's for Best Buy.
You do, but the difference, I think, at least to me, is that you could literally take that gift card from your iPhone and put it towards a Samsung or put it towards a pair of Bose speakers or, you know, like something else, not just an Apple product, you know. So yeah, I think
we're going to have to wait to see like when this is actually in practice to see how much money people are getting, if it's worth it, that sort of thing, if people are actually using it. Because I'm not even sure. I'm sure people are using it, but I'm not even like certain how popular the Apple leasing program is.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about it, honestly.
We'll see. It's not... not a bad idea, but we'll just have to see how it goes in practice. Speaking of broken iPhones, though.
Speaking of Apple, so it happens all the time. You break your iPhone in some way, some form, crack the screen, home button gets stuck, things like that. You need to get it repaired via third party, a broke-ass phone, an iRevival, some type of phone ringing.
Something like that,
trying to turn it off.
Some type of phone ringing.
Yeah. Essentially, this error is occurring when a recently repaired iPhone is being updated to the newest iOS. Error 53. It's been around for a little bit of time, but it's much more prevalent nowadays, especially with the addition of the much more, advanced Touch ID and the 3D Touch, or the, sorry, what is it called?
3D Touch.
I think it's 3D Touch. Yeah, okay. Things like that. Essentially, this error occurs when there's a mismatch between what the phone thinks you have in terms of hardware and pieces of equipment and on the phone, and then what's actually there. So I think it seems like it's actually some type of security flaw.
Yeah.
Where it's like, whoa, this is not adding up. You're not in the phone.
No.
And it's
we're gonna shut
Apple,
it down.
Apple is really, really not doing the best job of handling this. Even like I guarantee 99% of this is people with broken phones having this issue, but they are making you, if you were to take it to them, because it is a software problem, technically, if you were to take it to them, they're making you pay out of pocket to fix it, because it could be like someone trying to hack into the phone.
Well, it voids anything. It's like, okay, this is a perfect example. Brian, you might remember this. A couple years ago, I had an iPhone 5, and I was in my friend's car, and
yes,
I plugged an auxiliary jack or auxiliary cord into the jack. Well, he failed to tell me that the connector on the cord was actually like breaking off, and when I went to pull it out of my phone, the connector snapped off into the port, and it was flush with the bottom of the phone. I could not get it out, so my phone was in headphone mode for the rest of the time I had it. I had insurance on the phone through Verizon. So I went to a Verizon store. I believe you and me went, Brian.
Yes.
Went to a Verizon store, and they like tried to put Silly Putty on it or something, adhesive, to like pull it out.
Right.
And it didn't work. And they told me to take it to the Apple store. I took it to the Apple store, and they said, hey, Verizon messed with it. Like, unofficially, we can't do anything about that. So I ended up having to like smash it some more and yeah. get it replaced through my warranty. But I mean, that makes sense that they kind of refused to touch it because of whatever reason, because it was messed with by a third party. That sort of kind of makes sense. I don't blame Apple for that. But apparently this update to iOS 9 isn't relatively new. It was pushed out back in April where this was mm-hmm. included. But right. now we're starting to see more and more of it. And it makes sense to an extent. I mean, we've seen this before from Apple where you can no longer use unofficial lightning cables.
Yeah, it's happening much more and more, and there's a huge incompatibility, usually with the cheapo gas station ones you buy.
Yeah. A little tip, if on the box it says works with iPhone or iPod, that mm-hmm. It's a little sticker that's universal that's on all of the products that are officially licensed.
Hmm.
So that's how you know if it's like the official Apple logo works right. with iPhone, iPod, that's how you know that it will work. But a lot, like Brian said, there's a lot of cheap ones at dollar stores and gas stations that are just like in bins that you just, oh, this is like $5, and you walk out yeah. with it, and then you plug it into your phone and it says this is incompatible, won't work. So this seems like obviously it was kind of put there for a reason.
Yes.
In the software. I don't know if it's because Apple thinks that it is some security vulnerability, or they just flat out they don't want you paying less money to fix it. They want you to take it to an Apple store.
I feel like it's still it is one of those symptoms of people still really not knowing how to handle these types of situations. Where, I mean, it's a new thing still, you know.
Right.
Having this advanced piece of technology and all the different inner workings of the hardware, and then something does go wrong. I feel like we're still figuring out rules for how to handle insurance on these devices.
Yeah.
I mean, this doesn't seem fair. I feel like, if nothing else, the people who performed the repair should at least take credit, or at least be aware that, hey, this could happen, or give some type of disclaimer, you know. I mean, it should fall under voiding your warranty, but people aren't going to see it that way.
I think that if you get your device repaired at a third-party shop, it should void your warranty.
Right.
If you didn't use your warranty and take advantage of it, and you had it fixed somewhere else,
uh-huh.
unofficially, it should void your warranty. But I don't think it should be unusable. Like, you just can't use your device anymore.
Right.
That's kind of messed up.
You know what would actually be a really great solution to this?
What?
Have first-party authorized third-party retailers. Like,
yeah.
This is a, like, it's like a, what's the term? Like, Apple Store look-alike, or, you know, whatever. You know,
but do you think that if, really like, Broadcast Phone went to Apple and tried to work out a partnership with them, that Apple would allow it? Because Apple offers this sort of stuff in their store. Don't you think wants customers to go to their stores instead?
I mean, it would be great. It does seem against Apple's, like, thought process.
Yeah.
It's
interesting, because if this continues and increases and is not addressed by Apple...
Mm-hmm.
Then these very niche third-party fixer shops probably won't last too long.
Which is a shame, because they're usually pretty useful. I mean, I've only encountered a couple issues. I mean, I work with cell phones all day that have had errors on their repairs. But, I mean, even they have some type of guarantee, at least. It's usually 90 days. You know, to be quality or something like that. So,
yeah. Speaking of broken, Brian, BlackBerry.
Good transition.
Yeah. So we have further evidence that BlackBerry is slowly dropping out of the hardware game. At least this is a potential thing that they might be doing. We've heard rumors, and I've reported on the show before that BlackBerry needed to stay profitable and to continue to be able to viably produce hardware. They need to sell 5 million devices every time they release a new phone. If they don't do that, then they will not be able to sustain creating hardware. And BlackBerry doesn't even manufacture their own hardware anymore. They outsource it.
Right.
But now, it seems like to better cut costs here, they have begun laying off more people. BlackBerry says they're laying off a small number of employees in its Waterloo headquarters in Sunrise, Florida. But we don't, they didn't give us an exact number. It just says, they just said a small number.
Yeah.
According to Mobile Syrup, they report that multiple sources say the number of people being laid off could be close to 1,000.
Quite a bit.
And this is from the BlackBerry 10 team as well as the devices team. So just like I said, further cementing the point of them maybe potentially backing out of manufacturing hardware. We'll see what happens. Brian, what do you think this means for BlackBerry?
I think it's a sign that they should try something else. Maybe not phones. I don't know.
Well, they are focusing, they're always going to be focusing on their enterprise markets. They have been trying to focus more on enterprise, but they're also trying to push their hardware.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's in the cards with, like, I mean, the Priv on paper seemed like a great idea, but being so expensive and things like that, especially for the revived BlackBerry, you know, It's like they've been here before, so it's like it's getting old almost. It's like your like drunk friend or your alcoholic friend be like, no, I promise, I'm done. I won't set your car on fire again. That's my bad. Like
that's a really good point.
they're just still circling the drain. We're like, just go ahead, go down the drain.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I mean, there's always going to be diehard fans, and it's sad specifically, you know, especially for them, you know, because I guarantee people, maybe even in chat, are really big fans of BlackBerry, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I don't see them coming out with some product that magically saves them as a company. And it's like, everyone's like, oh my God, you're right. BlackBerry is what we need. So it just, I don't know. It's almost tiring hearing them in the news, you know, at this point.
We'll see. So, I mean, this could be the first step to them leaving manufacturing, or it could be the first step to them trying to save money and continue manufacturing. But you can't you cannot manufacture with less and less employees manufacturing. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
So, big talk in the town.
Big talk John in the town. Intro
is that the M10 has been leaked a little bit.
Yeah.
And we really mean a little bit. It's a very, very grainy picture in low light of what looks like the front of the M10 with the screen turned off.
Yeah. I pulled it up for people watching the stream.
Looks a whole lot like, it's like if a Samsung phone, an iPhone, and a Motorola had a baby.
Yeah. It looks like, so we were hearing rumors that it's going to resemble the A9 more than it would resemble the M9, M8, and M7 phones that we've seen from them previously, their flagships. It's got a fingerprint scanner in the front. Looks like an iPhone. Like, the A9 was, everyone's like, this looks like an iPhone.
M9.
But this, just the front, is kind of like, we've heard rumors. This is not necessarily confirmed leaks. I mean, this leak was from EV Leaks, okay? And they are pretty reputable in terms of when they leak any sort of images, they're usually correct. But so far, what we think we know is a 5.1-inch AMOLED display, 1440x2560 resolutions. That's Quad HD, powered by a Qualcomm Snapdragon 820 processor, 4 GB of RAM, 32 GB of expandable internal memory. 12-megapixel ultra pixel rear camera, laser autofocus, that sort of thing. Cool specs, as we say all the time. Specs are just numbers on papers. We'll have to see how it does and how it performs when it actually comes out. But Brian, are you a fan of the look?
I guess yes. I mean, I've always loved the look of the iPhone. So, I mean. I thought the HTC's, the recent ones, looked really nice. This is a really interesting departure because hopefully the back is still curved. I really like that, and hopefully it's still full metal and things like that.
The A9, I don't think, was curved or is curved.
You're saying A9, by the way.
Yeah.
I think, isn't it M9?
No. The A9 is the newest HTC phone.
Oh, yeah.
The one that everyone freaked out and was like, iPhone.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. It doesn't look like...
It's not a flagship. It's just...
Right, another phone.
Yeah.
I can't tell from this, but I can't really see if there's dual front-facing speakers or not.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, Brian. That would be really interesting if they got rid of that.
Yeah.
Because
that was a...
The boom big, sound thingy.
Yeah, that was huge. I mean, that was great. Great sound, and it was a really good feature of that phone.
Like, as far as front-facing speakers, like, that was the phone to beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing him here.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, from what we see on the phone, even the little we see, I'm interested. I mean, the size of the phone looks pretty nice. It doesn't look overwhelming or anything like that. I'm curious. I've never had an HTC. So if I had to go back to Android, I think I would bypass Samsung, and I think HTC might be the one, or Motorola. I mean, they, you know, both have very similar phones at this point. Like, judging from this design, looks good. But
Lambo Creeper in chat said Amazon Fire Phone equals best phone.
Well, he is right.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That is the show.
Couple. Updates here.
To
let you guys know, I'm starting a brand new podcast. I haven't really said this in during the show. Say what, Brian?
He's leaving us.
I'm not leaving you. Of course, I'm staying right here. We're starting a new podcast, and by we, I mean Matt Philly and I. Matt Philly from Swash and TV. You might know him from my setup. We're starting a new podcast.
I said Pip My Setup fame.
Yeah. So... You guys might not know, but on frontpagetech.net, we have people that, you know, pay monthly, and because of that, mm-hmm. they get bonuses, like they get to watch the podcast live, and they get to do a Google Hangout with us after every podcast on Saturdays. And in that Google Hangout, for months, it has been a joke that Matt, Philly, and I should start a podcast. People were jokingly throwing around a name called Average White Kids.
And
this past week, we decided to make it real. So Friday, which is the 12th, February 12th. For all you non-number people. We will be doing the very first episode of Average White Kids. It's just going to be like just this podcast that is, it's not tech related. It'll just be a fun show for us to produce where we don't really talk about tech, and it'll be the side thing that we do outside of our tech channels. So there's that. Also, Spectrum Swapper, the new gaming channel.
Spectrum Swapper.
Go ahead, Brian. What was that?
I was helping out.
Now do it again.
No, I don't. It's just one.
Oh, only one?
Well, I'm going
to be releasing a
it.
New video today. We'll make sure to go subscribe to that. I will put a link down in the description. It'll probably be released by the time you see this or hear this. SpectrumSwapper.com is how you can find the YouTube channel. We are back to number one on iTunes and tech news, so that's pretty
number
cool.
Number five in technology.
Keep listening. Keep reviewing. Next week's going to be interesting, Brian. On Monday, we have John Bubb from GFQ coming.
Oh, snap. Coming in with us. Guest week.
Next week. So Monday. And then on Wednesday, Brian.
A special guest. Should we even announce who it is?
Of course, yes. Wednesday is our old computer teacher. Not saying he's old, but our previous computer teacher from when we went to high school. Yeah.
Yeah, so a few years ago.
Michael Witt will be joining us on Wednesday for the show to talk some tech news, which is going to be so awesome to have our teacher on the show. So
going to be a lot of reminiscing going on. And hopefully he can tell some stories of, some embarrassing stories that we've forgotten.
So be sure to tune in live, because we'll get him to share some stories with you. And that's about it. I think we're done. Brian, thanks for coming on, as always.
Anytime.
And we'll see you guys on Monday.